Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the Xbox news, rumors, and games we're playing. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 187. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by my friends, Gus Harden.
Hello.
And Spencer Rain.
Hello, Tim.
This week, we're going to be talking about kind of the fallout of the Russian-Ukraine war on the video game industry and Xbox specifically, as well as some news about Halo, Grand Theft Auto, and some other things. But before we get into some news, we always start every episode talking about the games we are playing lately. And let's see, who should I go to first? I think, Spencer, why don't you regale us with you playing years-old games?
Sure. Basically, all I played this week was Cyberpunk 2077. Obviously, in light of the patch, like we discussed the last couple of episodes, I believe. I'm getting pretty far in this, actually. I looked up a guide finally, not to use it, but to just see where I am in the main storyline. And I'm pretty close to the end, I think. I'm like maybe two-thirds of the way through. I just completed a pretty significant portion where you play as Johnny in 2023, and connect more dots to the present and figuring out how to get the chip that he is on out of your head.
By the way, I looked it up after last week's show, and I'm at the halfway point in the story. So I'm like one mission shy of halfway, I think.
That makes sense. I think that from what you said and what I've heard you talk about, that makes sense that you're that behind me, only like maybe 15 to 20% behind me. I kind of liked what I just did. So I did the mission where you're working with the Voodoo Boys, and they're kind of like a Haitian gang in the Pacifica area. And you kind of have the option at multiple times to betray them. And the first time, Tim, you picked the side of against them, like you made the deal against them, basically, I think.
It wasn't as much against them as siding with myself.
So you have the option in the main quest line that we both just kind of did, I think. Me this week and Tim, I think a couple.
Careful not to avoid to like do any spoilers in case. It just got a lot of people waiting. Yeah, but a lot of people waited for the new.
I won't get any spoilers, but basically, you get to a certain point and you can either continue to work, you know, side with the Voodoo Boys, or you can side with this kind of. I don't even know how you describe that Netwatch faction, because they're not like a gang or like a major faction.
Let's just call it a hacker.
Yeah, they're like hacker guys, except they're like formal, wear suits and ties and things, but they're definitely like hacker man for sure. And Tim, you decided to take their deal rather than continue to work with the Voodoo Boys. I picked the opposite. Well, the next mission that you haven't done yet, after you play the Johnny Silverhand part, which, by the way, I finally saw his 1977 Porsche 911, so I looked up where you get that, and I'm very close, and I'm going to get it this week, and I'm excited to just solely drive that for the rest of the game. And nothing else. And I'm looking forward to that. But anyways,
you also got to get one of Keanu Reeves' motorcycle company motorcycles.
And I know. That. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming you probably get one because Johnny probably had one, but I don't know. Cause I know there's like the mission where you get the Porsche, you also get like some of his clothes. Like it's like you find this cachet or this cache of like Johnny Silverhand's like memorabilia. Well, not really memorabilia. It was like his actual like things he owned.
Yeah.
And like it's a storage container that you find, and the Porsche is in it, and there's like other things that you get. So I don't think that's when you get it, but you're right. I do. I need to get one of those because motorcycles are definitely the most fun vehicles I found in Cyberpunk.
Yeah. They're most maneuverable. So I like those over cars.
Yeah. And they just are kind of silly. Like the cars are silly in an annoying way with the physics engine, but like motorcycles are silly in kind of a fun way. But anyways, so I'm a mission past him in specifically the Voodoo Boys kind of segment. And you get another choice between betraying them or not. And I picked to betray them because they kind of are just kind of got on my nerves and the way that they were kind of maneuvering and being annoying and just kind of like, I was like, yeah, I don't like you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and take you all out. And that's spoiler alert. But yeah. It's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's definitely, I think I said last week, like the jank is still there by and large with some things. Like an example of something that makes no sense that, like, I don't know why the game does this is sometimes you'll be in dialogue and you press B to skip ahead in the dialogue, right? Well, sometimes the game thinks you're trying to crouch. And so it'll crouch you. And when you crouch, you go into stealth mode. And so you're the screen kind of, there's like an effect on the screen when you're sneaking. Yeah, it
like dims around the edges.
And so you'll be in the middle of a conversation and all of a sudden you're now in sneak mode and you can't stand back up because when you hit B, it skips dialogue. And so you kind of get stuck in a loop of either you're always crouched in this dialogue or you're trying to skip through it and you were trying to uncrouch and it's just a weird thing. Like, I don't know why they would have done that. Like, I don't know how you miss that when you're, you know, testing this game out. It's a lot of stuff like that. Like, not things that are like broken or necessarily wrong, I guess. It's just like weird little oversights like that. That's what this game is full of. Just silly, weird little things like that. And I just, I don't know. In the dialogue, I've talked about this before, but it's so... I have to imagine they were going for like a futuristic vibe with the way people they thought might talk 50 years from now, like with the way that they, the amount of slang in the dialogue or just the amount Tim's pointing at a poster on his wall with controllers on it for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Oh, I was just drawing attention to the fact that my background has changed for the first time since we've been doing the show remotely. And so for Christmas, one of my relatives got me a framed, like, the history of the video game controller. And it goes from whatever was before the Atari 2600 all the way through the PlayStation 5. So it's kind of cool. Spencer pointed out, though, and it has ruined this poster for me, is that instead of the Xbox 360 controller, they have the 360 Kinect. And that's the only one that's missing. They have the Xbox One controller. They have the Xbox Elite controller. It's not so granular that it has...
controller, yeah.
It doesn't have both of the Elite controllers. It's not that granular, but I mean, and it doesn't have the second Kinect. It only has the first one. It's all very weird. Yeah. Anyway, that's why I was pointing at it. Is the first time you guys have seen it live and in action.
Oh, I see. But yeah, so the dialogue, I notice it every single time I'm playing this game. Like, it's just, it's so weird. It's very weird. It's I didn't notice it in The Witcher, so it's different. And it's not weird like Metro is weird with their dialogue. Like, dialogue clearly written and created by Eastern Europeans that they don't normally speak English. That's how Metro feels. But with Cyberpunk, it's just different. It's just weird. It's like, this is what they think Americans will talk like in 50 years is basically what I'm kind of the vibe I'm getting. And then the only other things, I mean, again, I really like these little, I like these, the Cyber Psycho little hunts. I mean, they're short. I've been playing a ton of the gigs this week, really for the first time, played through a lot of them. And I mean, a lot of them are short and I get the complaints with that, but I mean, I think they're kind of fun. I mean,
yeah, they're little... fun, and they're like the third tier. You have like main story, side story, and then gigs are like the
and the Cyber Psychos are kind of like tiers, like 3A and 3B.
Yeah, and it's like,
and I think they're good. Like, they're little tiny 15 minutes or less little things, but
I agree.
I don't have a problem with it. And the side missions are really good too. Like, I just finished Judy's this week. I'm on Pan Am's last one. I know because I just know I am. I'm on Rivers. I'm about to be on his last mission. I'm on the last race with Claire. What's her face? She's not like a main side character, but she's kind of like a second tier side character.
Doesn't she work the bar?
Yeah, she's the bartender at Afterlife, but she also does like street races.
Yeah, I just met her, so I'm getting ready to do my first race.
Yeah, and like, they're pretty cool. Like, Rivers was really fun. It was basically you're trying to find. I forget how it starts because I'll be honest, I played it like, you know, a year ago. I think it was right after the mayor gets assassinated and you're trying to figure out like why he got assassinated, but then it like splits off and you're trying to find this guy that abducted River's nephew, essentially. And it's like a true crime, basically, storyline. And it ends up in a pretty weird, dark place, which is, you know, just different. I mean, there's a lot of weird, dark stuff in Cyberpunk, obviously, but like this is more specifically, you know, to this character. And yeah, I mean, I know people complained about a lot of that type of stuff being too short or not being enough. And maybe that's true. You know, maybe they were expecting it to be like The Witcher and it's a 100-hour game. Which, by the way, I know we talked about this last week and it said I had like 70 hours in this game for some reason. My save is like at 31 hours, I think, 32 hours, something like that. So that's where I'm at as far as time played.
Also, last week we were talking about achievements and I said I thought you had, one of us had 255 or something achievement score. My friend texts me, he listens to the show, and he was like, I think you accidentally were comparing to me because that's how many gamer score I have. And he's right. I looked at my friend's list and he's the only one that has that many gamer scores. So somehow I was either comparing or I think I went to see how many hours played he had because I had seen him playing it a lot, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to see how far ahead of me he was. And I must have accidentally left it on that screen instead of going to my achievements. Anyway, mm-hmm. So it was funny because he texted me. And,
Well, actually, it is interesting. I got several achievements this week, which were my first achievements in a year since March of 2021, interestingly enough. So I have I'm like 155 gamer score, I think, now. After 32 hours, which is pretty crazy. Another thing, which is kind of a complaint, I guess, I feel like you level up really fast. And so weapons and armor and clothing kind of phase out really quick, but you're always finding stuff, which I don't really like that kind of level design.
Don't say that too loud, man. You know, we're going to have an Avengers level situation, an Avengers level threat where they're going to bump down the experience gain.
Oh, nerf it, yeah.
Like they did during in Square Enix's Avengers.
I'm already level 30, so I'm well on my way. There was one other thing I wanted to say, and then I was gonna be done talking about it. I got Mantis Blades. This is the last thing I'll talk about. I got Mantis Blades and went to a Ripper Dock and got basically cybernetics for every single part of my body, which I hadn't done for some reason. Because there's so many random things in this game that you just don't even think about parts of the game. Like quick hacking, I don't even do.
I do tons of quick hacking. And man, I'm not going to use Mantis Blades, but I use tons
Mantis
of quick hacks.
Mantis Blades, they are amazing. When you start specking your points into blades and just use their... Oh, they're so much fun because you just move so fast. It's like basically General Grievous, but with swords coming out of your arms instead of lightsabers. Like in... The 2003 Clone Wars when he's just going crazy and spinning like crazy. Also, in that same vein, I saved before I bought the Mantis Blade so that I could try out all the arm cybernetics. And that's pretty much, I said this in our group chat, it's pretty much the closest that you get in this game to like true like outlandish body modifications like you see NPCs have because it like totally replaces what your arms. Like if you get the Gorilla Fists, it's like you're like basically have Iron Man hands essentially with like bits of skin over them, which sounds weird, but it's cool. And then obviously the Mantis Blades are giant blades coming out of your arms. That was my Cyberpunk experience this week. I'm continuing to have quite a bit of fun with it. Glad I waited, I guess, although I guess it's smoother. The load times are non-existent. That's probably the biggest gain of waiting. And then Forza, I mean, just kind of playing through it. I know we talked about, there's a big update this week and they're adding some new cars to the next like round of Car Pass cars were announced and a few things like that. And I don't know, I've just been kind of playing. There's actually been some pretty decent seasonal championship rewards the last couple of weeks. So that's what I've been doing, playing a couple seasonal championships, you know, every other day type thing. Like the actual car rewards have been worth it, the last couple of weeks. Slowly but surely getting every single Porsche, including all the ones you can't buy. Anytime there's a Porsche reward for doing anything, I've been there and doing that, which last month in February, there was a lot of that going on. But Forza is the game. Like I said last week, Forza is the game where I just kind of turn it down a little bit and then get a long, you know, hour long YouTube video up or something and just kind of listen to that and zone out. That was me this week.
Cool. I missed out on a lot of those cars. It always frustrates me that some cars in Forza are locked behind like being dropped once or twice a year. But anyway, Gus, what about you? You finally getting into Far Cry 6?
So I was playing more Far Cry 6 this week. I don't know. It's I'm still enjoying it. I don't really have too much to say. I'm just kind of chugging through the story and, going about it. It doesn't feel like quite over the top just yet. Like I feel like every Far Cry that I've played has always been like it gets a little bit like over the top at certain points. And so like obviously like you have the mission where you are burning the weed fields in Far Cry 3, which is like, oh, because then you have a Skrillex song playing in the background.
Spoiler alert, that one's in also in Far Cry 6.
Yeah. Which I already did like a mission at the very beginning where you burn some like the Viviro tobacco fields.
Yeah, that's it.
But that's like right at the beginning, so hardly really a spoiler alert. That's like within like the first hour of the game, honestly. I'm enjoying it so far. I haven't really gotten to any points where I'm like needing to talk about a whole lot just yet. I'm sure there will be plot twists in the story and other things that happen. I'll be like, and we'll want to mention it on here. But I split most of my time between that and Hearts of Iron 4, still on that train. And so I guess that's really all I have to talk about video game wise. But I did want to mention, I thought it was pre-cast, because the three of us, multi-form proper, went and saw in the flesh the Batman, new Batman, Robert Pattinson Batman movie.
Oh yeah, I was going to talk about that before we went into games we were playing. And, yeah, we all saw it today.
Yeah, yep. So like 4 hours
four
ago?
Hours ago.
Yeah, essentially, yep. It came out of the theater 4 hours ago at the time of this recording, and Spencer and I were enthralled with the soundtrack. Yeah. He pretends to be pounding on like the drums basically. And it was interesting to me because we were sending like different parts of the soundtrack on Spotify to the multi-form group chat. And I recognized the name because I would hear it on TikToks originally. They would have it on TikToks of people using the Batman theme song on TikToks for whatever reason. And I saw the name of the composer is Michael Giacchino. And for anybody, deep cut, if anybody knew this already before I'm even saying it, kudos to you. But Michael Giacchino did all of the like OG original Medal of Honor games, their soundtracks, like Medal of Honor Frontline, Medal of Honor Rising Sun, Medal of Honor Vanguard, Medal of Honor Airborne Assault, just Airborne and then European Assault as well, which I was like, man, I was like, I knew I recognized that name from somewhere when I was looking at it. Because those, I love, like, I have a playlist on Spotify of my favorites, like soundtrack music, like movies and video games, and I had the Medal of Honor theme on that.
Also did the first Mercenaries game,
correct,
and Secret Weapons Over Normandy, two PS2 deep cut loves of mine.
Yeah,
from 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, I for some reason I thought he did one of the Mass Effect games. That was somebody else. Somebody else named Michael, I think, did one of those games. But yeah, we saw that, and I felt obligated to mention it as a video game deep cut of one of my favorite series of all time, which is Medal of Honor. Like the original ones, not like the Medal of Honor Warfighter era of Medal of Honor games. Like the prototype for Battlefield 3.
The 90s, 2000s Medal of Honor.
Yes,
I'm surprised with all the struggles they've had with Battlefield the last couple games that they haven't just given it a break and gone and done a Medal of Honor instead.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know. I feel like Medal of Honor is one of those games you just kind of forget about. I don't want to like hit on it for too long, but it's like it is a. I remember it came back and it was like a modern shooter, and I remember playing like the beta or like a demo of it on 360, and it was like I said, it was basically like it was like the prototype. It was like the testing grounds for Battlefield 3.
I remember.
Because it came out like the year prior, I think. And I was like, man, I was like, this is kind of cool. I remember being really bad at it. But like, I was like, man, wow, everything looks so good. Looks so realistic. Because I want to say it was like one of the first games on the Frostbite 2 engine. But yeah, I'll have to look that up. But yeah, just one thing I wanted to mention. But yeah, other than that. Far Cry 6 is still the game to play. Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Oh, I actually played the one from last year. I played a few games of Diamond Dynasty because I for whatever reason I wanted to play it. MLB's got a lockout going on right now, so they've canceled like the first two weeks of the season. Who knows how that will affect the show 22, but we shall see on that. But I did play that.
Yeah, you just reminded me. I don't know why this reminded me, but Rocket League is doing a tie-in with the Batman to do the Batmobile from Robert Pattinson's Batmobile. Robert Pattinson's Batman is in Rocket League. I don't know if it's paid DLC or if you earn it with like a battle pass or what, but I'm going to look that up because I do have the DC pack in Rocket League, but that comes with all the other Batmobiles. But I don't know, just a quick call out that I didn't put in the news. For me this week, so I might have played a little bit of Cyberpunk way back at the beginning of the week. I don't actually remember when I flipped over the Switch, but I basically decided to try and stick to Horizon Forbidden West until I finish it and try not to play other games unless I'm playing multiplayer with friends. And I have to say, so I was a big fan of Horizon Zero Dawn. I bought my PS4 Pro specifically for that game. I had had a launch PS4, but I upgraded to the Pro for that game. And Horizon Forbidden West is such a good game. It feels like what Assassin's Creed could be if they weren't such like formulaic games where they have a long storied franchise to like tie into and stuff. But what I want to call out is, okay, so one, the story is fantastic. For a sequel, I'm about halfway through the game. I've gotten through the first two major like plot points, the first two major reveals, and they're both super interesting, very like, I just like, so I can't, I'm trying not to spoil it. Not that everyone here on an Xbox podcast would play that game anyway, but some people have both consoles. But the thing I want to call out, because Spencer was just talking about it with Cyberpunk, is the side missions. This game potentially has the best side content I've ever experienced, because the side missions are just as significant as main story missions. They add to the story if you do them. They unlock things that are valuable or tools that make things better or new equipment. But the story is just as fleshed out in the side missions as the main missions. And the open world is just amazing. Plus, the UI is really customizable and the accessibility features and stuff. Like, I really feel like the game lets me play it the way I want to play it. And I don't know. You know, people always talk about how good PlayStation's exclusives are. And, you know, I have a PlayStation to play the exclusives. Like, I like Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding, Uncharted, God of War. Some of those I finished, some of them I haven't. But I liked all those games. But Horizon Forbidden West is the one that really sticks with me. And Xbox doesn't really have anything like this. A third-person, like, action-adventure open-world game. Not that we have a lot of open-world games on Xbox anyway. I'm hoping that Fable comes in and fills this void. That
you mean like exclusives? I presume.
Yeah, exclusives.
Okay.
Or first party exclusives, even maybe more. Because
I mean, obviously you have Assassin's Creed, but that is not in it.
Yeah, yeah.
An exclusive. And even that's kind of lost its luster over the years.
Well, and Assassin's Creed is the closest thing to Horizon Forbidden West, mostly just because they both deal with time as like a component of it, because like the future retro dinosaur aesthetic versus the Animus in Assassin's Creed. And there's some things with like retro futurism, you know, because you have both the future technology of the Isu and the past of the Animus going into your past memories. And Horizon Zero Dawn is set in a futuristic retro. I don't know who's played what, so I don't want to ruin anything, but it's just really cool. I think I'm just past halfway in Horizon Forbidden West and I can't stop playing it. Like, I can't wait to be done recording the podcast so I can go play more. So yeah, really, really enjoying that. When I get done with it, I'm probably going to go back to Cyberpunk 2077, because I've actually been playing that a lot up until this week. That's how I got to where I was. Spencer and I were neck and neck at the beginning of this week, and then I think Spencer pulled ahead. But you've done a lot more side content than I have, because I've done some gigs and a few side stories, but like you said, you were almost done with that one person, all of her gigs. And I was like, oh, wow, I think she has like 27 gigs and I've only done like three. So yeah, really, really like Horizon Forbidden West. Cannot recommend it enough. And you don't need a PS5 to play it. If you have a PS4 original or a PS4 Pro, it's totally fine. Like, the graphics are slightly scaled back, like as far as resolution and stuff, but you can still experience a amazing, beautiful game. So highly recommend it if you are somebody that can get your hands on a PS4. So with that, let's move on to the news. So for the first news story, I'm going to wrap this all up in like the Russian-Ukrainian conflict that's going on right now. Obviously, Russia has unprovoked invaded Ukraine and is currently bombarding their country and basically the whole world has come together, minus a few countries that have either sided with Russia or stayed neutral. Mostly the entire world has come on the side of Ukraine as far as supporting them. And that has extended into the video game industry. And so this story is, we have Stalker 2, which is in development, supposed to come out later this year. Their developer is in Ukraine. So they have put the development of that game on hold while they support their employees and make sure they're safe and do what they can to support them in either getting out of the country or staying safe where they are. And then most recently, Microsoft has suspended sales in Russia, including all Xbox hardware, all Windows PC, Windows, you know, Surface, all that stuff, as well as game sales, digital and microtransactions, all that kind of stuff. Also, EA has suspended sales in Russia, as well as CD Projekt Red has suspended sales in Russia, and they've shut down the GOG, you know, it's a Steam competitor on PC in Russia. So mostly across the board, all the big publishers are kind of basically blocking Russia until the invasion stops. I don't know what more there is to say about this. It seems like a lot of, if there's ever been kind of a safe, you know, a lot of times when businesses, there's a conflict like these, businesses don't want to get involved because they don't want to be seen as taking the wrong side, or they don't want blowback in one of the countries, if not both. But this is an example where the whole world is basically like, Russia, what are you doing? So I don't know. I'm going to stop rambling there. Spencer,
as Tim, I have a question for you. Is history buff. Is Multiform Podcast also making themselves unavailable in Russia as part of international sanctions?
I mean, if I could block our podcast, that we actually do have Russian listeners, believe it or not. I do. If I could block it, I would. I guess I wouldn't, because just the normal Russian people aren't doing anything wrong. So, and we don't make money off them listening. So if they want to hear about video games here in the United States,
that's not the point, though, Tim.
Yeah, but it's different when it's, what, you want me to put the squeeze to the Russian people so they'll put the squeeze to their government?
Put the squeeze on them, Tim.
Yeah, I'm sure the KGB will be more than happy to come to all the three of our front doorsteps and assassinate us, because...
Well, now that you said that, geez.
The FSB is going to find us.
Yeah, also, I like that before Facebook and Twitter, because everybody was mad that Facebook and Twitter didn't pull out of Russia, but they didn't have to, because all the anti-Russian rhetoric on their social media, Russia blocked them. So but Twitter still... and Facebook didn't even have to. They got blocked by the Russians. Well,
it's funny because, like, obviously Russia has, like, official Twitter feeds they just to have. And so they were tweeting about, like, Russophobia this week, and, like, all the replies and everything was just like, interesting that you got around your own blockers, Russia. What is Putin going to do when he finds out about that? But yeah, obviously a terrible situation, you know, there, not to make too light of everything going on.
No, it's horrible.
The main reason I think, well, at least from my perspective, the main reason why, you know, we're talking about this at all is because, you know, there's at least one, you know, Xbox related studio there in Ukraine, you know, obviously the team working on Stalker 2.
Oh, Ubisoft has studios in Ukraine as well.
And then back in the day, I wish I could remember their name. The studio for Metro was in Ukraine, but they moved after 2014 when this kind of all started. Yeah, 4A games, I thought.
4A, you're right. Just shaking my head. I took away one of their A's. Sorry.
They're a quadruple A studio.
Yeah, now they're only a triple A. Oh, boo-hoo.
That was the main thing, is they just kind of, you know, they're obviously putting the focus on helping their employees and keeping their families safe, and so Stalker 2 development this week was announced by GSC Game World that it's you know, on hold indefinitely. So I think that likely means that, you know, we won't see this game for at least until next year. It had already been delayed till December, so I think it's highly unlikely that happens now. Which is obviously unfortunate. You know, I was one of the games I was looking forward to this year. It was in the lumped inauspiciously now, and with Crossfire X, a couple of snake bitten games. But yeah, that was kind of the main thing. And then, like you mentioned, with Microsoft suspending sales, and then EA and CD Projekt Red also. I think they also announced that they were donating money to the Ukrainian Red Cross. CD Projekt Red did this week, you know, obviously being a Polish studio.
Wargaming is another one.
Yeah.
Creators of World of Tanks and World of Warships.
Yeah, yeah. And they fired their creative director for making a pro-Russian tweet.
Yeah, so a lot of studios that we talk about fairly often making announcements like that this week, making moves this week. Significant, just because, you know, CDPR is obviously, they're in Poland, so they're sharing a border with this, and GSC mm-hmm. is in Ukraine, and Wargaming, I thought was in, is it is in Russia, right? It's a Russian-based studio.
I think they have multiple locations.
Belarus.
But yeah, that's their main
location. And St. Petersburg, I know, is like another place that they work out of. So they're probably in an awkward spot, I'm sure.
I saw a really cool story today that is like a lot of people are finding really creative ways to support the Ukrainian people. So like a lot of people are making donations to the Red Cross. Some people are actually going to like Poland and Ukraine and volunteering with refugees. But a lot of people don't have the ability, right? Like if you're here in the United States and you know, have a family and stuff and you can't just pick up and leave, you still might want to find a way to donate or to help. And I saw that a bunch of people apparently have been booking up all of the Airbnbs in Ukraine and then just not going and then just giving the people the money, because if you don't cancel, they get the money. So they've been giving people money through That's booking Airbnbs and then just not showing up. Which is a really creative way to like make sure that people that, you know, need income and stuff. While they're, you know, I mean, there's a lot of horrible things going on, and not having money to be able to get away or not having money to eat or whatever it is, as prices are probably going crazy over there and all kinds of stuff. But there are like little tiny bits of like human interest, like interesting, like not interesting. It's not interesting, but it's good to see people finding ways to be good humans and kind to each other. But it's, there's this one picture that is stuck in my head of something horrible that I saw that happened over there that was on a media outlet. And it's just, it's hard to believe that it's happening in 2022. And, you know, we're so far away. It's so easy to like forget, you know, I think a lot of people just don't want to think about what's going on the other side of the world. And that, you know, selfishly, that's probably the way the world thinks of Americans, but it is nice to feel like the whole world has come together around this one event, but it's not nice to feel that way until it ends, right? Once this is over and Russia goes back into their country and Ukraine starts rebuilding, then we can talk about how it was nice that we all stood together. Right now, it just sucks. Gus, you've been awfully silent. Would you like to say, screw you, Russia?
I mean, you guys are, well, I mean, I'll forever and always screw Russia until they get their act together. But I don't know. You guys have kind of hit the nail on the head with what you've been saying. It sucks that we're losing out on games that mostly you and Spencer would like to play. But I don't know. It does suck that this is happening. And I thought, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize it has been going on for longer than they think. This has been an issue for almost a decade now.
Not active really, like shelling, longer. But yeah, like
right. But the whole Ukraine Russia conflict. But I don't know. It is. It's. We'll have to wait and see how it shakes out. I mean, what more can we do as a podcast? Obviously, we aren't a political podcast, but I mean, we are human beings. We have our own opinions, so.
Yeah, I guess to put a bow on this so we can move on is to say I'm just glad that all these tech companies and people over here in America that are, you know, the video game industry is a very small piece of this. It doesn't even matter in the grand scheme of things. It's entertainment. But I like that at least these people are taking a stand. You know, some of these companies do business in Russia, right? They're not going to make money because of the lost sales in Russia. And I'm glad that they're doing it anyway. And maybe it's easy when it's war and one country is clearly the aggressor, but you know, this stuff, I honestly was surprised when EA pulled their stuff. Cause in my mind, I was thinking the publicly traded companies are probably not going to do this, right? Like EA is probably not going to do this. Activision. Well, I don't think Activision still has, but I don't know. Anyway, well, let's move on. I hope Russia stops soon and we can rebuild Ukraine and just have peace. It's just such a mess. I hate talking about this on an Xbox podcast, but it is the world we live in. So moving on, number two, Halo Infinite They put out a blog giving an update on the game, and it was basically three bullet points. Well, and more than bullet points. There was a lot of paragraphs for each bullet, but three areas. One is immediate stuff that they're fixing now. The second category was season two plans, and then the third category was like season three and beyond. And the important stuff to note here is, number one, online co-op is being delayed. It's not coming at the beginning of season two. It's now going to come sometime later in season two. So originally it was supposed to come May 3rd when season two starts, but they're not quite done with it. So another delay. To make matters worse, couch co-op is still in development and is not going very well, it seems like, and they still are trying to work around how to do it in the open world, and they want to support it on everything all the way back to Xbox One, which I'm sure constrains it further as far as, you know, the resolution and the resources available to split the screen four ways on the old console in an open world. So that is probably not coming till at least season three, I'm guessing, which was originally supposed to also come in season two. And then, so those are the two updates from the second bullet point about season two. And then And then also season two, they announced will be called Lone Wolves. They released some concept art for armor that'll be in the battle pass, as well as some armor from an event that's going to happen during season two. And the biggest thing is they announced that at least two new maps are coming in season two. One is an arena map called Catalyst, and another one is a big team battle map called Breaker, which I'm just excited to have some new maps on the way, because there's not that many maps depending on what game mode you play. So one more in the mix will not hurt. Spencer, Gus, any thoughts on this Halo news?
I don't know. Not much great to say other than it's kind of disappointing. I mean, I haven't played Halo since January. And I don't really feel any pull.
Yeah, neither
have I. To play it. It's disappointing, I guess, that they're delaying some of these kind of pillars that should have been there at launch, probably, but that they originally, you know, promised would be here early. And now it's still several months to go. I know they've kind of had struggles recently keeping player count up, and this is certainly not going to help, you know, in the short term, at least. I don't know. I mean, it seems like 343 wasn't necessarily equipped to kind of keep up with demand for a live service game, which is what, you know, kind of was the point. It seemed like they were going for with Halo Infinite, which is disappointing. You know, I don't know how much it matters, but it certainly isn't a great look, I don't think, for Halo. I mean, we talked about it enough on the cast, you know, weeks ago, that we liked the story. We probably wanted more, I think, but I think they did a good job with that. And certainly the gameplay and the visuals are great. But then it kind of falls off after that, especially in multiplayer. I think people are getting burned out just because the map count is so low. And yeah, I mean, this is not encouraging news for right now. You know, that all of this is kind of continuing to get delayed and pushed back again, things that probably should have been there in December when the game launched. Also, Lone Wolves seems like kind of a silly name, because you're not a lone wolf if there are multiple wolves, but I'm not a creative person, so what do I know?
Yeah, also the creative they showed for these two Spartans, they look fairly generic, but they did release a second image of one of the Tenrai events, Fractures, which is the events they do that are like non-canon. And the character that they showed in that was a little more like, he looked kind of like a bulky, like cannonball looking guy. His armor is really interesting. Go check out the blog on, I think it's HaloWaypoint.com is their URL. If you want to see that, it does look cool, but I don't know. I haven't even finished my samurai armor, because it's like you said, they haven't given me a lot of reasons to play. It feels kind of samey no matter what I do, and there's so few modes and so few maps right now. It's just a shame, because the game is so good. The gameplay is really, really solid, but there's just other polished finish things that over time have irked me more and more, and I'm not feeling the reason to pull back. Like, so far what they've announced for season two is like, okay, it's good. New map, that's great. New battle pass, okay, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Another thing is, none of my friends are playing this. Like, I'm the only person I know that's still playing Halo Infinite. Like, I played it in the last 2 weeks, but I don't know anybody else that's played it recently. All my friends are playing Cyberpunk or Horizon or Elden Ring. Like, everybody's playing Elden Ring. Like, that thing has exploded. So, well, Gus, unless you have any thoughts, I'm going to move on to number three.
Not really. Yeah, not to, like, okay. sound like an echo for you guys on Halo, but I have just kind of completely forgotten that it even existed for the last month.
Just yeah.
Not for any bad reason. It's just that I have other stuff I want to play. And since Halo is not really coming out with anything new and exciting that's grabbing my interest, it's not able to take me away from a 6-year-old game and Far Cry.
Yeah. And they needed to communicate because the community was backlashing at the fact that they weren't saying anything. But I mean, we're still 2 months out from the next season. So there's a lot of runway before we're going to get any new content still. And 2 months is a really long time. Most other games are doing 3-month seasons. So here we're talking 3 months, or I mean, sorry, 2 months, and it's already been 4 or 5 months before that. So it's a little long. Now, they said they're going to get into a better cadence, so hopefully that works itself out. So, okay, number three. Rockstar put out a blog about Grand Theft Auto 5 and the current gen version that is set to launch a week from tomorrow. So let me glaze through all these updates as far as what's included, and then you guys can tell me your thoughts. So basically, they're adding three modes to the game, or the new version has three modes. It has a fidelity mode, which is 30 FPS, 4K resolution with ray tracing enabled. They don't say what type of ray tracing it is, whether it's lights or shadows or reflections or what. Then second option is a performance mode, which gives you 60 FPS, but it's an upscaled 4K resolution. So that's your high frame rate option. And then this is the one I'm probably going to try, depending on I always check out Digital Foundry to see what they say. But the third option is a performance ray tracing mode, which is a hybrid of the two. So it's 60 FPS with ray tracing enabled and upscaled 4K resolution. So basically, it has a lower rendering resolution, so they have the overhead to do ray tracing, and then they're upscaling to 4K. So you'll probably have slightly less clarity, but you can experience 60 FPS and ray tracing in the same mode. So that's the one I'm really interested in. Then the other things that they have that they say they're doing here, I'll just read a little paragraph here. New versions also offer across-the-board improvements, including faster load times, increased population and traffic variety, increased vegetation density, improved lighting quality across shadows and water reflections and other elements, plus improved anti-aliasing, motion blur, highly detailed new explosions, fire, and much more. They've also added spatial sound on Xbox Series X and S. And then finally, they are doing migration of saves. So if you go into Grand Theft Auto 5 on Xbox One and you go to, I think it's under the general tab or maybe it's the save tab, I forget, but there's a button to click upload save to cloud or something similar to that. And then you can download that on the new current generation version when it comes out, and it's good for 90 days. So if you upload it, you have 90 days to download it onto your next generation console. Now that's for campaign. The GTA Online stuff, I think, just flows over automatically if you have it tied to your Rockstar Social Club account. Finally, pre-purchase and preload will start on March 8th, which is, I believe, tomorrow as this goes live, and that's 1 week before the release on March 15th. And then they're going to do a physical release of the game in April. So we'll know the price on the 8th, which is tomorrow. What's insane about this is they're not putting it in the blog, which means it's probably not good.
$60. Actually, I hope it's 70 like PS5 does with their next gen games.
I said 70.
I hope it's Rockstar, 70. So they can charge whatever they want and people will pay it. Yep. But
I hope it's 70 and people get pissed off. That's what I hope.
Me too. Me too, Spencer. So I want to realize they need to quit focusing on GTA 5 and just start rolling on six.
The
pause.
All right, pause.
They're also releasing GTA Online as a separate standalone game. How much do you think that one's going to cost? $30?
$70.
$100, and it comes with the Megalodon card.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, you guys are nuts.
GTA Online, what do they do? Red Dead 40? Online, isn't it 15?
Oh, I forgot that existed.
So probably 25. I don't know. It's more popular.
Can you still download that by itself? I'm going to Xbox.com right now.
Yeah, the save migration is nice, but that seems like more like a bone they're throwing.
Well, they got chewed alive when they didn't have it last time.
Well, that's different because that was for general. That was like a was like for. To me, that was more of a dramatic generation jump.
Yeah,
but this one I feel like won't be.
Okay, regular price on Red Dead Online is 20. I think it was on sale for 15 for the first couple weeks.
Okay. No, I think it was so 5. 20. It was super
cheap. Oh, you're right. It was 5. So it's $20. So
this will probably be at least 20, maybe 25.
So I feel like if online's 20, then I think the full game is going to be either 30 or 40. That's my prediction.
At least 40. I mean, what was the trilogy? Look that up. How much did that cost?
It was 60.
Was that 60?
It was 60. Yeah.
You can't buy them standalone yet, can you?
No.
This is probably, I could easily see him pulling 60.
My prediction is 20.
See,
20
my thing is,
30.
So what I was saying that I feel like the save migration is them throwing a bone to people like me, theoretically. People who aren't as interested in online as they are in single player. But it's not enough for me unless they had introduced some new single player content. Like, I don't know, any of the online content, if they had somehow tweaked that around, like the Dre stuff, that would have been cool. The playing single player, because I actually have money, you know, I have like $1 billion in single player across the three characters.
You can spawn a GTA Online lobby that's just you and then play it in single player.
Yeah, I know. But
which is what I do a lot of the time, because if
you
don't, you get
those fine
jerks ruining
or
your
you
experience.
Just play in passive mode, then you can't get killed.
You still can get killed if you get run over by a car, though.
Oh, well, that doesn't happen that often. But the point is, though, everything costs exponentially more in GTA Online, and it's a lot more difficult to get money. Like, I was watching somebody play GTA Online, and they completed a heist. Like a pretty high stakes multi-part, multi-quest, if you want to call them that, heist. And they got like $200K for it. And I was like, the freaking cheapest car is $200K. Not really, but you get what I'm saying. That's my issue with GTA Online. Is like you either have to grind or you have to buy shark cards. And I don't have time or patience or low enough self-respect for that.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this before, about how games are like, it might have been Halo that they said something like, we don't want players to have to grind the crap out of this game. We want people to just play it and enjoy it and not have to spend like a whole bunch of money or like all of their time playing our game and keep them locked in. Otherwise, they can't get the things they enjoy or the things that they want, the things they like, which I'm with Spencer on that, because that's basically what a lot of games have done the last 5 years. Maybe even longer, and it's really, really annoying. Because I probably play the least amount of games out of the three of us, and even with me, there are games that I play, and I'm just like, I simply don't have the time to devote to enjoying this game, because the things that I want, the things that are like the coolest part of the game, are locked behind these either paywalls or grind walls, and I'm over it. I want to just be able to play. That's why I like single player games more now. Because multiplayer games are all super grinding and frustrating to play, because I'm not as good at multiplayer games as I used to be.
Single player games, except Ubisoft games.
Yeah. With the exception
all the cool
of Ubisoft
stuff is monetary.
But it's just like, don't make me do that. Not to like rag on GTA 5, but this is more of just like a general industry note, because we know everybody's listening to us, or me in particular,
about our industry thoughts.
Yeah. I'm over all that. So
I know
that,
I've
that's
said,
why single player is like all in on me right now.
I think I've probably said half a dozen times that I wish there was more crossover between single player and multiplayer for GTA 5. Just because like I don't understand the point of, you know, playing the stock market and getting 300 million across each character. And then not being able to do anything with it because nothing is expensive and you can buy literally everything and still have most of that. So I won't keep beating that dead horse. It's so weird how they've been playing coy about this. And frankly, before that, the GTA trilogy remastered last fall. You know, they didn't really divulge any details until the very end. So I don't know. It is what it is. You know, I don't think any of us are going to play it.
It depends on the price. I'm going to get it for free on PS5 because they're giving away the GTA GTA Online is going to be free on PS5. So I might just sample it over there and see if I actually feel like it's worth it. But I never finished the campaign a second time when it came to Xbox One because they wouldn't let me migrate my save. So I don't know that I'm... We both know I'm not going to get around to
it. Well, hang on. That I didn't care because it's a good campaign. Like, I thought about it this week. I was like, maybe I would play the campaign for a third time. Like, it's that good, you know?
See, I'm only on my second playthrough, so I would have been fine. I would be happy to replay it. It's good, but...
Yeah, I played through it once on 360, once on Xbox One. And this would be the third time if I wanted to going through all the way. So I don't even know if maybe I would import my save and then I just make a new one. I don't even know if that's possible with GTA, but I don't know. I'm not going to regardless.
Yeah, it's all about pricing. And I think it's probably going to be too expensive initially anyway, because let's face it. There's no reason not to launch at like 50 or 60 because some people will pay that and you can drop the price later. And yeah, some people will be mad that you dropped the price a month later, but also those were the same people that couldn't resist buying it immediately when it came out. So I don't know. It's also a thing where maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they actually do the nice guy thing and make it, if you already own it, you just get the better version. But it's Rockstar. They're going to milk us. So, okay, where are we at? Number four. Spencer, I think you dropped this one in our show notes because I certainly didn't. Star Wars Eclipse is already showing signs of some concern. So this is the Star Wars story-based game that was announced at the Game Awards that is coming from Quantic Dream, the former PlayStation exclusive second party relationship studio. excuse me. This is from leaker Tom Henderson, who frequently leaks Call of Duty stuff on social media and on his website. But this time he's got some news about this game. And specifically, he did a look at their job postings. And I guess like 3 months ago, they had 60 job postings up. And he looked at it again 3 months later, and it was like either the same number. Yeah, 67. And then at first he's like, oh, okay, so they hired some people and they replaced it with more job openings. But then he looked up the specific jobs and he did a Wayback Machine lookup of that same URL and found that they are using the same job postings and then repeatedly just going in and updating the posted date so that it looks like they're recently posted. Because I don't know if you've ever looked for a job online, but you usually look for the ones that were posted fairly recently because they probably don't already have 1,000 candidates, or sometimes you're worried that the job posting has just been left up even though they've already filled the role. So it seems like they're having a hard time filling some roles at the studio, and a lot of them are senior roles. And the reason hypothesized is that this studio has been embroiled in workplace harassment and workplace culture accusations over the last few years, and that maybe people don't want to work there based on that reputation, because it's not like a big, they're not a big studio. It's not like you're going to work for Activision where you're a cog in a machine and the culture may only affect a portion of the studio or something like that. This is a small studio of, you know, comparatively, and I don't know, it's been accused of a pretty toxic culture. So
yeah, between the studio itself and then the guy in charge, I think there's been a lot of
David Cage,
a lot of rumors and accusations and problems the last handful of years. I did throw this in here because I figured it was relevant. You know, we discussed the trailer from the Game Awards. It's Star Wars, so obviously we're all fans of Star Wars. This was the High Republic game, for those that don't remember. The trailer had
the first High Republic game.
Right, correct. It'd be the first ever video game set in the High Republic 200 years before The Phantom Menace. So people were pretty excited about this one. I mean, I was, just kind of from the perspective that, you know, the High Republic was the new Star Wars initiative that they started in January of 2021, primarily books and comics. This would be, like we said, the first video game for that. And obviously there hasn't been any TV or movie for it yet. Who knows, maybe in the future that changes. So I was excited from that perspective because I haven't really engaged with these stories that much, because I've found them just from what I've seen and kind of the excerpts that I've read and things like that. I'm not really interested in it. But a game is obviously an easy enough way to get kind of plugged into that type of universe. So that's disappointing, the kind of the more disappointing aspect of it. But it seems like, you know, when they put this trailer out, you know, last year, it was kind of a hiring tool, I think, kind of like, hey, we're working on this neat looking Star Wars game. You know, why don't you come be a part of it? And it seems like they've had no success or very little success in doing that. So obviously, I mean, this was a game that probably 3 months ago when they trailered this, it wasn't going to be coming out until, you know, 2025, maybe something like that. So who knows if, you know, if that's still the case. I mean, these rumors are suggesting 27 at the earliest, which is insane. So yeah, it's too bad. Because I think the narrative story driven games that Quantic Dream is known for, I think that kind of would have been a neat experience, you know, a very high quality Star Wars story told in that format. It's not really something that we've had. I mean, we've certainly had, you know, high quality narrative driven Star Wars games, but not like this, not like in that, then that style. So that's also disappointing. You know, who knows where this thing will end up.
Man, love talking about games that have a speculated release date of when I'm in my 30s. Nothing makes me feel better than all these games that I hear about that are going to be coming out when I'm,
I mean, it could be worse. You could be 10 and he'll be, you know, 47 when the Elder Scrolls 6 comes out.
It's just out. That's an exaggeration. I'll be in my 40s when both of those come out, though.
Oh, man, that's just so wild to me. I mean, obviously, this is not the same situation as 13-13, but I would hate to lose another game the way we lost 13-13, especially with Spencer having seen random pre-alpha builds of the game. And I'm just like, man, this could have been something else. But,
well, that's the crazy thing about that is just like a month or two ago, new 13-13 footage leaked out, like was released out.
That's what I'm talking about.
That we had never seen before.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this game, like, I don't see how they could have canceled it when it was this far along because it looked awesome.
Yeah.
Stupid. I'm freshly mad now.
Yeah, I got Spencer riled up. But it's like, especially with Star Wars, too. Of all things, of all the IPs that you could work with, how do you have trouble hiring for a Star Wars game? Like that is wild to me. Like, I don't know, does that say something about Quantic Dreams then themselves or what? But
yeah, be a crappy studio no one wants to work at.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did they get the rights to work on this Star Wars game? Basically, like, whose decision was that? But because I mean, Star Wars fans, some people would call them toxic. A lot of people would call Star Wars fans toxic anymore with the creation
fandom
of the sequels.
Toxic?
Well, some people would say that the fan base is toxic. Oh, that's only because of the sequel trilogy, which made a lot of people mad. So some, I can't even think of the word. What kind of Star Wars purists, as they would call us.
Raylo.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm still mad that I didn't get Finpo, but
oh my gosh, keep going, guys.
Whatever. I don't know. It does suck. It makes you think about how we won't get the Knights of the Old Republic remake until like 2 years from now at a minimum.
I mean, hopefully it's only a 1 year
it should
thing.
Be only 1 year.
Yeah, hopefully I'm excited to play that, but it sucks because it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive for the first year, and I'm just like, oh my goodness.
I would agree that maybe it's only a 1 year exclusive, but then Final Fantasy VII Remake has been at least 2 years without coming to Xbox, and it's like, man,
well,
maybe PlayStation
wow.
is.
Final Fantasy.
But
talk about a game
yeah.
that the three
well,
of
hang
us
on, hang on, time
about.
Out. Well,
Final
I would
Fantasy
play
15
that.
Came.
No, hold
but
on,
they played,
time out.
Wait,
out.
You would play what? You would play what?
Time out.
Okay.
First, number one, yes, I would play Final Fantasy VII Remake because it looks really cool visually. Like
I played it.
And number two, Final Fantasy is historically speaking a PlayStation franchise. Like it's
yes,
known for being Japanese and on the PlayStation. I know there have been Xbox iterations.
Xbox,
I know that.
And 7 they paid for exclusivity.
But I'm saying I don't think that's a good comparison.
Okay.
Because
I think
KOTOR, the KOTOR remake is a lot more likely, because I'm going to look up the
KOTOR was historically an Xbox game,
right?
Who's
making the
it's Aspire. The studio that did the mobile ports of
yeah,
the KOTOR.
And you know what else Aspire does or helps on
everything,
yes, but more importantly, wait, no, don't never mind, time out, ignore me. But
yeah,
they're also actually
remembering something
I'm thinking of Asobi or Asobo, untimeout, they're in the Embracer Group, and we all know that the Embracer Group loves Xbox. So Saber Interactive loves Xbox. So it's fine. They put all their games on Game Pass.
Well, I mean, a lot of their studios are studios for hire, and Xbox uses a lot of studio for hire.
Yeah, which is fine, but I'm just saying, like, it'll be a year. We'll be playing this in... Wait, does this game even have a release date? I don't even think it has a release date.
I don't know, actually. Look that up, because I'm curious. Yeah, the question will be, can I have the patience to wait for it to come to Xbox, or will I just play it on PS5? Because
you have too much other crap going on. I know.
Like, Final Fantasy VII Remake, I actually started on PlayStation 5, and then I was like, wait a second, why am I playing this? I have too much on my list to play already. Why would I subject myself to this? But that goes true of everything. Got to pick your battles when you're crouching on 40 with two kids in the house.
I try and play.
This is a quick anecdote. I try and play games with my kids on my lap sometimes, and I can't even get through like half a mission before their attention is like completely gone, and they're like, oh, "I'm gonna go play."
2023 looks like 2023. So
yeah, is that speculation or announced?
That was on.
I think it's going to be a while.
I don't know.
And who knows? So much stuff keeps changing. You know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that like the deal changes. Not that I think it will, but like crazier things have happened in the last year with acquisitions and stuff.
And pray it doesn't get altered any further.
Oh, did you guys hear that which studio was it? The Ubisoft on their earnings call, I guess one of their executives slipped up and implied that they had offers made to acquire Ubisoft. And then someone like talked over them and was like, allegedly, if that were to happen. And it was like, wait, did you guys just acknowledge that you've had offers for acquisition? And the question is, was it Tencent? Was it Embracer? Was it Microsoft? Or was it Sony? Sony probably can't afford them because they're probably like a 30 to 70 million... They're probably in the $30 to $50 billion range based on their size. I don't know what their market cap is. Maybe you could Google that. But
I'm on it.
Yeah, that would be crazy. You have to imagine it's probably Embracer Group, because it would be insane to think that Xbox would get Activision, Ubisoft, and Bethesda. Like at that point, the scrutiny of the industry regulators and the governments would be like lit up like the spider sense.
What do you want? Revenue, operating income, net income, total assets, or total equity?
I want to know the value of outstanding stock, like the total market cap.
Market cap. All right. Yeah. Their market cap is, I have no idea because, $6 billion.
You got to convert it.
$6
billion. Oh, it's only $6 billion. So even if they paid a premium on the stock, it would probably be like, you know, let's say a $10 billion
acquisition. Which is surprising because I feel like they have like 57 studios across the world. And
yeah,
they have 18,000 employees, which is less than Activision Blizzard, I think.
Which is crazy because Activision Blizzard makes less games. It's absolutely nuts. Ubisoft makes so many games.
I wish they had bought Ubisoft and injected some
not
of that,
Activision.
Yes, and injected some of that consumer friendliness into Ubisoft. Actually, you know what? I just told a lie. Activision Blizzard only has 9,500 employees, and Ubisoft has 18,000. So I lied.
Well, you're uninformed. You can't lie if you don't know the facts. You can make up. See? True. Okay, number five, Game Pass. They've announced the additions for the first half of March. Some of these are already out because we're going live on March 7th. So Far Changing Tides came out March 1st. Microsoft Flight Simulator was added to the cloud on March 1st. Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns, which I believe is the third Final Fantasy 13 game, believe, because there was 13-1, 13-2, and then 13 Lightning Returns, which is 13-3. Anyway, that comes out March 3rd, so that's already available. Kentucky Route Zero coming March 10th. Lawn Mowing Simulator, the Xbox One version, is finally coming on March 10th. Remember, that was delayed. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy coming March 10th, and Young Souls coming March 10th. Guardians of the Galaxy, the big one here. That is a get. Square Enix has been playing nice with them. They added Avengers. They added Guardians of the Galaxy.
Back in the day, they had a little Tomb Raider, a little coziness, which we need. I think I'm ready for a new Tomb Raider game. If I haven't said that recently, I think I have.
I predict we don't see one until the next generation. That's my prediction.
Go a whole generation without one. Sounds good.
Yeah, they've got all their studios working on other stuff that nobody wants.
Yeah. Well, there was a talk. There was talk that they were working on a way to integrate the stories of the old, you know, super pixelated triangular boobed.
Yeah, they 100% are. But I bet it's all like right now it's exploratory, and I bet we don't see the first like dislike. Look at that until the end of the generation.
Dislike,
and then we get it next generation.
Well, speaking of these games on Game Pass, I was intrigued by Far Changing Tides. I still haven't downloaded it because I don't think I've turned my Xbox on. Or I've turned it on does look since March cool. 1st, but I just keep forgetting about it. It looked neat. Apparently it's a sequel. I had no idea.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
To what?
Another game that's called Far, something after the colon. Yeah, trust me.
I'm looking it up.
I was reading
right
about
now.
It this week.
The fact that I Googled Far Loan Sales, is that it?
That sounds right.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
And well, there you go.
Looks like this game was released on Windows and Mac OS in 2018 and came to Xbox One in 2019.
Yeah, there you go.
Blah, 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 blah. Interesting. Did not know it was a sequel.
Yep.
Where did you learn that?
I was reading the write-up about it somewhere this week. Not the Xbox Wire one, but a different one. I think, I don't remember. I just was reading.
Looks like it has pretty good reviews, the original one. 8s and 9s.
Yeah, it looked interesting. The sequel, this Far Changing Tides, the new one, day and date on Game Pass.
Like, I'm surprised at how strong these reviews are for a game that I hadn't really paid a bunch of attention to. The original, I hadn't even heard of. The second one, I thought looked interesting, but okay, maybe I'll check that out. Not that I have the time, but cool.
And Young Souls, the original, the prequel to Dark Souls. People forget. People forget that.
Whatever.
And also a Final Fantasy game we were just saying isn't ever on Xbox, and boom, roasted. Yeah.
Xbox 360. I think, well, remember at, I don't know if it was like the Xbox, I forget what their event was they had last summer.
XO, like 18. Yeah, they were XO. Like, we're going to be the Final Fantasy box, and we're announcing all these Final Fantasy games that are coming to Game Pass.
Like 3 years.
And I'm pretty sure there's still like a couple that are outstanding.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if they've come and gone, but I think 10-1, 10-2, 13-1, 13-2, 13 Lightning Returns,
15.
And 15 have all been on Game Pass at one point
or another.
The original
version of 7, too.
Yeah, but it's left, I think. 8 also was on there for a while.
Yeah.
But it's all, you're right, it's all kind of come and gone, and like they haven't all been on there at one time, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. It's not like Yakuza, which is like they're all on there, and they have been.
I've only ever played 2 Final Fantasy games. Okay, that's not technically true. I've played Final Fantasy 3 on Super NES Classic. I think it's 3 that's on the SNES Classic. Is it 3?
3 or maybe 4. Maybe it's 4.
Yeah, but I played that one. I played 10, and I've played 7 remastered on PlayStation. I've never played more than 5 hours of one, but I always wanted, like, I know they're all individually different, except for the ones that are sequels, like X1, X2, or 10-1 and 10-2, and 13-1, 13-2. But I've always wanted to like basically pick one with a really high Metacritic score of the last decade and try it, like actually commit, like say I'm going to play at least 10 hours of this and try and get into it, because I feel like it's something that is so huge that I've just never been able to really get into. But it's also hard because they're all so different. Like 15 is in no way like 10, and 13 is in no way like 10. And, you know, there's the MMO 14. It's kind of like Assassin's Creed, except for Assassin's Creed is more the same, except for the scenery changes, versus some of their games are turn-based and some aren't. Some are action, you know, adventure games, and some aren't. Some are open world, some aren't.
I looked it up and we were both wrong. It was actually Final Fantasy VI on the SNES Classic.
Is it 6, but it was called 3 in the US? Is that what it was?
Yes.
I think it had a different title in the United States.
It was
in the
Final Fantasy
release.
VI, also known as Final Fantasy III from its initial North American release. I hate that.
I hate that too.
I hate the naming conventions with Final Fantasy. It's very annoying. But you're right. Well, that's the one that I played, and then I also played 15 when it was on Game Pass.
Well, I hate that there's that era of like the 80s and 90s where games that came over from Japan, they felt like they couldn't sell them to American markets in their original title, so they kept changing them. And it's just really strange to me that like games have different titles. Like sometimes it makes sense, right? The name was already copyrighted in a country, so you have to change it. Like Hot Shots Golf and what's the original name? Everybody's Golf. Like those had, I think, a copyright issue or something, but it just makes no sense. Why is your game not the same thing everywhere in the world? Seems so strange. But the weirdest ones are the ones where they changed the number of Final Fantasy because we didn't get certain games. So they're like, oh, well, if they couldn't get, you know, the original 3, 4, and 5, we'll just make 6, 3. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But I guess if they're not narratively tied to each other, it's just fine. Sorry, there's my Final Fantasy rant. Although I'm really proud of myself for not being a Final Fantasy person and knowing that 6 is actually 3 from the original American release. So, North American. Anyway, okay, I got 3 quick hits for us this week. Number one, the current beta for Alpha Insiders on Xbox, the new dashboard that's coming in April. No, March, later in March. The new feature they're testing is being able to mute sounds on your dashboard. PlayStation has had this since going all the way back to PS3, I think. Xbox finally getting it to where, like, the sounds when you, like, slide between tiles and you bring up the guide and when you get an achievement and all that stuff, you can mute the sounds on all of it. And I think this is important for some people. I think some disabilities, it can be annoying, like tinnitus and things. So I don't know, but it's also been very fan requested. Number two in the quick hits. A new game was announced, Pac-Man Museum Plus, releasing May 27th. This is a compilation of a ton of Pac-Man games. It's like 8 or 10 Pac-Man games. But most excitedly, it is coming to Game Pass day one. So that was not in the Game Pass announcement because it's coming in the second half of the month. So it'll be in the Game Pass announcements that come in a few weeks. And then finally, this one's for you, Spencer. Quick hit number three, Resident Evil 2, 3, and 7. Are being enhanced for Xbox Series X and Series S with visual enhancements. No date is given. They just say later this year. And it's going to be free for people that own Resident Evil 2, 3, or 7 already, which I think one of those is on Game Pass currently, right? 7? Yep. Yeah. And then you bought 2, I know, which is the one that is
2 and 3.
Most... Oh, you bought 3? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you've probably already played through them. So
I have.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to. And I have blame. Too much of a baby to play the second one. I might play the. I would play the. I maybe would play the third one through again. I don't know. I did say last week that I was going to reinstall 7 just to hate myself. Because that one's actually scary. 3 was just like, eh, because you actually... 3, I think I said this when I was playing it, is better because you have, like, automatic weapons for most of the game. So, like, mm-hmm. you just feel like you're just like, all right, I can... The controls are still very janky and kind of annoying. You know, very dated feeling that they didn't really change that, which is kind of part of the gameplay, is to like feel like you're kind of like walking around in quicksand, but at least you have, you know, explosives and automatic weapons for most of the game, so it makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, the classic tank controls that people call them.
Yeah. Two is kind of scary too, but not like 7. 7 is definitely more suspenseful.
Just as a guess, I'm on the website gamepasscounter.com. Take a guess how many games are on Game Pass for console.
479.
Yeah, it's closer than I expected it to be. 437.
Oh, wow.
Remember when the advertisement was 100+ and yeah. Now we're at 437, which I think includes a couple duplicates because of like a rare collection had a couple duplicates and things like that. But still, even if there's only 420,
man.
Like they still advertise it as 100+, and they're into the 400 range.
That reminded me of Perfect Dark, which reminded me of just how many Xbox exclusive games have been announced in the last couple of years that are just out there somewhere.
What's Fable, the one
Avowed, Perfect Dark?
What's the one being done by the Just Cause team? That kind of looked like a treasure hunting game.
Contraband.
Contraband.
Yeah, but I mean that's like. Not even to me in my mind, that's not even the same atmosphere as Fable, Avowed, or
what's
Perfect
the one
Dark.
With the vampires?
Redfall, but that's coming out.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying there's just a lot
well,
of
I know, but I'm talking
first
about ones
games.
that have no dates, like Perfect Dark, Fable, you know, things like that are
Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, that's gonna come. That I have infinitely more confidence that game is coming out than I do those other 3 games. Like if tomorrow they're like, yeah, Perfect Dark, things aren't going so well with the initiative. It's probably like 2030, and then like 6 months it just quietly gets canceled. That would not shock me.
So my biggest concern with all of this is that it seems like in the current environment in the world that everybody's struggling to get headcount and get it, like, get developers. And I mean, that's why for Fable, they had to outsource to Square Enix to get more bodies, basically. That's the I don't think they said that, but that's the common assessment of the situation, is that some of this stuff is either going to not be up to snuff because they, or it's going to continue to be delayed because they just don't have enough people. But then again, you just acquired Activision and Bethesda. And if that goes through, you know, hopefully you start to be like Ubisoft, where it's like, oh, well, we have this pool of resources that, you know, this game is out of its early development phase. We don't need concept artists anymore on that game. So let's move our concept artists over here and have them help out on this other project. When you get as big as some of these companies are now, you really need to be better at your resource management and not look at everything as individual studios and what can be shared. Oh, but
and The Outer Worlds 2 could be lumped into that category. And another game that I feel like we heard a lot about and then nothing was the Hellblade 2. You know, it's another game that's just kind of like, we exist, kind of. And you're dreaming.
Yeah, Hellblade 2 feels like it's close, though, because we got a real trailer at the Game Awards. That's like that maybe comes this year, but probably early next year. By the way, I'm looking at the site to see which Final Fantasy games are, and it says Final Fantasy 10, 10-2, 13, 13-2, and now Lightning Returns are on Game Pass. So I think all those other ones are either they dropped off, or this website maybe is not counting them because they're back compat, maybe, is also a possibility. There's a back combat button here somewhere, but I can't seem to find it. Anyway, that's all I had for this week, so we can wrap up there. I don't know. I got nothing to say here. Any final thoughts from you guys?
I'm looking at the list of Xbox Game Studios games, and they don't have on Wikipedia, and they don't have Forza Motorsport on here. Like, as far as like the TBA section of the list, interestingly enough. But I digress.
Yeah,
I'm Spencer Rain, and my Twitter handle is at Makes It Rain.
I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And then I'm Gus Harden.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.